Good morning. Welcome, everybody, to the January 28, 2014 Sussex County Council meeting. Mr. Lawson, approval of the agenda.
Thank you, Mr. President, and good morning. At this time, I have no amendments to the agenda.
Motion to approve the agenda.
You got it.
Second.
Motion, Mr. Wilson, second. Mr. Phillips, to approve the agenda. Any questions on the motion? We'll take the vote. Mrs. Deaver?
Yes.
Mr. Cole?
Yes.
Mr. Phillips?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried. We had the minutes of January 21st. Any corrections, questions about the minutes? Hearing none, they will stand approved. Mr. Moore, correspondence?
I have none, Mr. President.
Any correspondence from council?
A couple of things came across my desk. The forum I talked about last week about aging in place had to be postponed because of bad weather. It will it will occur on Thursday at Cape High School, beginning 5:15. And it has to do with helping some of the older folks stay at home instead of going to nursing homes. And how can we do that? How can we help folks? And it is the master of ceremonies. It's Jeff Freed from Beebe Hospital. And that's there's another thing is that there's going to be a forum, public forum, in Milford, at the Milford Library, February 19th at 6:30. And all the legislators who represent that general area are coming. And Sam and I have been invited as well. And I wanted people to know that I think it's a good time. I think it's better than a coffee. But there you go.
Anything else from council? Mr. Lawson.
Thank you, Mr. President. First item of business today is a discussion and consideration of night meetings for county council. I was asked to put this agenda item on by members of council for a discussion and really just opening up for council's consideration and whomever would like to weigh in on the possibility, I assume, to changing our schedule.
If I may, we've talked about this ad nauseum. I think everyone knows where I stand, if we could, so we could keep moving along. Mr. President, I'd like to move that we change our schedule to have all our meetings at night.
We have a motion. Do we have a second?
I'm not going to second that. That's not what I want. And unless we could amend that,
Dies for lack of a second. Mm-hmm. Any more motions?
Would you like it amended, Mr. Deaver?
Well, we never met at night. We used to meet at 3 o'clock and have hearings at 6. That's not really at night. And I think we should go back to that.
I move that we have our meetings beginning at 3 o'clock and public hearings at 6 o'clock.
Second.
Motion is second. Any questions on the motion? Hearing none, we'll take the vote. Mrs. Deaver?
Yes.
Mr. Cole?
No.
Mr. Phillips?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
No.
I vote no. Motion defeated. Next, Mr. Lawson.
Thank you, Mr. President.
Reason also.
Pardon me?
Also have a reason why I'm not going to vote yes.
Mr. Wilson?
We've already tried this. We had no more people at nighttime. We're doing daytime. Number two, we have all the employees here. And why are we paying overtime for these guys to come in and work at nighttime and making up all this other time? So I think for that reason, I would not vote for nighttime. We've tried this a couple of years probably. So I want to make it very plain. It's not fair for anyone, really. And those that really would like to come and cannot come can certainly make it in daytime. It would be a special hearing for them. So I'm definitely going to vote no. Thank you.
May I say what my position is? I bring with me a poll result from the Cape Gazette, and it asks, Sussex County Council return to night meetings? Yes, 74.7%. No, 15.6%. Not sure, 9.7%. Total votes 225. It's a simple survey. However, it is there. And I've also looked over all the other counties' meetings, and they are meeting in the evenings. And I looked at Florida, and they do meet in the daytime. I guess they have a lot of retirees in Florida. But I will just submit one of these meeting notices for the record. And I know I didn't have a I'm not going to get the motion passed, but I appreciate your listening to it. And when we went to daytime meetings. We had a lot fewer people, and I'm sorry, but my heart sank, and I was very, very sad that a lot of people are going to miss out on what goes on in their government.
Mr. Cole.
Yeah, I might as well go. We'll go down the line. The reason I voted no is because, I was here in part of the experiment that we had before, and I don't believe it was successful. I also feel that because we have the P&Z at night, and most of the big issues of are land use issues and rezoning, so it gives people an opportunity to have the availability of a night meeting and a day meeting. So it does, give everybody a little opportunity to get to these meetings. I just think most of these issues, like today, if we had this at night, the pump station modification, nobody's going to be here but staff. And as somebody alluded to, we'd have to have staff people here. And so it would get more costly, and I don't think many people are going to show up to hear a lot of this stuff. We also are on the internet nowadays, and that's a way people can have access without having to drive at night. And tonight, for instance, if we had a night meeting tonight, we'd have some bad weather, and there's not many people on the roads here a lot of times in Sussex County. So I think day meetings are again safer, and people can hopefully adjust their calendars, and we take letters, we take all kinds of correspondence, we have internet, we have all kinds of access. So we will hear people's concerns. And there's also the telephone, which some people still use. So that's kind of my variety of reasons.
Well, if we really
Phillips, want... you have anything you want to say? I don't want to miss anybody up here.
The strangest way to handle I made a promise to the voters in 1998 when I first ran that I would support night meetings, and I'm still keeping that promise until the day.
Thank you, sir.
First now, thing well, you know, we're going to be voting for Legislative Hall have night meetings, so it'd be convenient for everybody there, too, because it doesn't suit me. Well, this meeting going on, I can't be up there, so... Maybe we ought to, we can really get down being foolish if we want to be.
Okay, we've all waited, I think.
Thank you.
Yes, ma'am. Mr. Lawson, Mr. Report.
Thank you. Only one item this morning. Delaware Electric Cooperative Capital Credit Report. As a Delaware Electric Cooperative customer, Sussex County is eligible for a capital credit when the co-op earns profits or margins. Each year, the county purchases significant amounts of electricity from the co-op, and according to their website, all returns of margins, commonly called capital credits, are approved by the co-op's member-elected board of directors, ensuring local accountability for the process. Capital credits are unique to the co-op business model and an added value for our customers, end quote. Today we'll be joined by Mr. Bill Andrew, the president and CEO of Delaware Co-op. I don't see Mr. Andrew yet. He is going to discuss and present the county with their annual capital credit today. So, Mr. President, when he arrives, perhaps we can
recognize him. Certainly.
Recognize him. Mm-hmm. That is all I have. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, sir. Mr. Godwin.
Mr. President, members of council, I'm going to distribute something that I didn't get in the package on Friday. I apologize.
Godwin.
Yes, sir.
Good.
How are you doing?
I like your
keeping an eye on the legislature, I picked up two bills that I wanted you to have a look at. I haven't represented you on either of these as yet with any opinions, but I wanted you to have a chance to see them.
Did you see that
bill, one? They're both House bills. The first one is House Bill 159, and this bill is, let me read you the synopsis. The synopsis is that no political party eligible to place candidates on the ballot may submit a certificate of nomination of any candidate who has already filed or been nominated for statewide, county, or municipal office or for a seat in the General Assembly. The synopsis reads, this bill prohibits a person from running as a candidate for more than one state, county, or municipal office in the same election. I don't know if you want me to represent your interests here. What this basically says is that you can't run for two offices at the same time in the same election. Now, I'll take you back to a recent election here in, I believe it was 2008, where we had Vice President Biden and U.S. Senator Biden on the ticket in two different positions, and he was elected to both seats. The only problem with a situation like that is that then at the end, if the candidate wins one of them, he has to forego the other, which sets up a special election, which costs the taxpayers a little extra money. I don't know if you have a position on that or not. The other bill that
it doesn't prevent somebody, let's say a county council person here, for example, as an example, running for a state office while they're holding their seat.
No.
It was midterm. So that, no. It's just only running simultaneously.
In the same election.
Okay.
Right.
All right.
Okay. The other one that I wanted you to see is House Bill 167. And this one caused me a lot of concern, but I've checked it out in-house, and it doesn't seem to be as serious as I originally thought. This is kind of complicated. The synopsis is this. This bill would prohibit a public employer, which we are, from inquiring into or considering the criminal record, criminal history, or credit history or score of an applicant before it makes a conditional offer to the applicant. It would permit inquiry and consideration of criminal background after the conditional offer has been made. The bill specifies that once a background check is conducted, an employer shall only consider felonies for 10 years from the completion of sentence and misdemeanors for 5 years from the completion of sentence. Further, employers are required to consider several enumerated factors when deciding whether to revoke a conditional offer based on the results of the background check. Police forces, the Department of Corrections, and other positions with a statutory mandate for background checks are excluded from this provision. The bill also requires contractors with state agencies to employ similar policies were not in conflict with other state or federal requirements. When I first read this, I thought, wow, this really limits how we can screen applicants. So I took it to our HR director, Mrs. Brewington, and she assured me we're already doing this.
Mm-hmm.
So I was shocked.
I didn't hear you.
Mrs. Brewington assured me that we are already doing this. We're already practicing, following these practices as this law would mandate.
Why are they proposing it? Some county doesn't do
it. I guess some
uh-huh.
public employers
some
are not following
employers.
The okay. same protocol as we are.
Why are we following this protocol, Todd?
Well,
I'll ask Todd. Why if Karen says we're following this, my question to her would be why? I think why could we not be concerned at Sussex County whether we look into an applicant beforehand and instead of wasting a lot of time and energy?
Let me clarify something. I thought the bill said you're not allowed to look into criminal background
before
or as a term of employment.
Mm-hmm.
We currently are looking into criminal background. In fact, I just pulled our application up. It says on our application for employment, have you been convicted of a felony or a misdemeanor within the last 5 years? Check yes or no.
Mm-hmm.
So we currently are considering their criminal background as a term of employment.
Mm-hmm.
This bill would limit that, is my understanding.
Well, what Mrs. Brewington explained to me yesterday was, and I'm sorry I didn't include you, it was late in the day, I'm sorry. She said that she's already following these guidelines because they may get the information that the person has a felony conviction, but unless it directly connects to their job duties, they don't necessarily deny the person the job. In other words, if they were arrested on a DUI, and that was a felony, and they were going to be a street sweeper or they were going to work in a sewer plant, that might not have any reflection on their job. So unless the crime connected to the job opportunity, it would not be a deterrent to keep us from considering that employee.
Well, my first gut feeling is that we would say no to something like this because if it restricts our ability to set our own hiring and firing practices.
Right.
So I would, love to have the staff look into this, but my initial thing is just I don't like them dictating to us how we should hire and fire. I know we don't want to break the law, but
well, that's why it got my attention.
This
Council
is
I
don't know if this is right way to do it.
How about this? How about if between now and next Tuesday,
mm-hmm.
If you would with Karen, with Mrs. Brewington, and with Todd.
Mm-hmm.
All three of you sit down, review this thing, and come back to council with a recommendation on should we be in favor or opposed to it.
There she is.
Mm-hmm.
Well, there she is. She heard us talking about it.
Yeah, it's very serious.
I don't think that her being here.
I invited you to talk about
it. I was listening. We actually do a condition of employment as an offer. So when we interview folks, we look at the applications. If they have not disclosed that they have anything that would be a criminal background, we go through. They're the most qualified applicant through the interview process. They don't disclose that information. So then we go through the whole interview process, references. We offer the position, condition of employment, for a successful background check and drug and alcohol test. So we can rescind an offer if something comes back that they didn't disclose that they were not being honest.
And that's lawful? And that
yes. We do not pull the background checks prior to making the offer. It's a condition of employment. So there's no discrimination.
I think another question was that if that person has a criminal background, even if they disclosed it in the application, does that disqualify them for employment here?
It would not disqualify them. We would take that into consideration and discuss that before an offer is made.
So if it were
a position that was dealing directly with money and there was a criminal background check where there was a hit on that background check as far as there was theft and there was a felony, yes, we would definitely take that into consideration.
Okay. Was this procedure that you just described, mm-hmm. was that in place already when you became our...
Yes.
So we've been practicing this procedure.
We have been practicing that.
For quite a while.
Yes.
And we didn't need a law from Dover to or any regulations to tell us to do this.
No.
So there's, again, I just would reiterate, I think this is totally unnecessary. It may restrict us in the future. I don't think it's necessary. We're already doing it. And maybe the other counties are already doing it also, and it just seems to me redundant or something.
I
still don't like it. For some reason, I don't like it.
What I can add to that is, in my previous life when I was with the state, they did do background checks for folks. Same thing, condition of employment. So if there was a hit that came back, it may disqualify them for a position. So, for instance, if they had a felony, they would not be able to work with someone, maybe a disabled person. Just depending upon whatever that hit is, there is different positions that would disqualify. This bill would change that for a lot of those folks.
The only worry worries me, once they get that bill, if they get adopted, then the next thing you know, it'll get amended, and then it'll get amended, and the next thing, who knows where it could lead once they do it. So, I think unless you three come up with a reason, but I would still counsel the rest of the council here to be in opposition to it.
If it's okay, the rest of the council, we'll back again to, I ask Mr. Lawson and Mrs. Brewington and Mr. Godwin to review this and come back to us next Tuesday with a recommendation of should we support, should we be opposed to, or should we just not do anything?
Since we do it.
I'm a little concerned about us having to decide whether that criminal background will affect certain occupations within the government. That decision process worries me. I don't know that we're qualified to decide that. So I'm very interested. It's very serious. Look forward to some information.
Okay. Thank you all very much. How, anything else?
Yes, I just wanted to know how you felt about House Bill 159, the one where you can't run for two offices at the same time. Should I leave it alone, oppose it, or?
That makes kind of sense to me. I mean, why would you?
I think that logically you wouldn't be supporting something like that. It's hard. How can you win them both? It just seems like, a waste of the public's time. And Mr. Biden's a good example. He wins both offices. Then either sometimes, I guess, if he decided he didn't want to be senator, does the governor have an opportunity just to appoint somebody?
That's what happened. Ted Kaufman was.
Right. So you have a situation where the public votes for somebody, and then they end up getting somebody they didn't vote for. So I just think that you're not getting the right representation if you're the voter.
I did not object to what the vice president did, and Senator Kaufman, as a matter of fact, was one of the finest senators we've ever had. And so, you know, I'm not going to say right off the cuff, right? No, I'm going to think about this.
Well, why not run for three? I mean, why are we going to stop at two? That's where you feel bad, Joe. Just policy four.
Well, how about common sense?
Let him run on down the list. I mean, let's just.
Yeah, I would.
Let's pick a real joke.
I think it seems to me that we can make a motion on one or two or what. It seems to me that the consensus up here is we are in favor of that bill.
Yes.
Okay.
Absolutely.
I would think the
consensus. Yeah, I want to talk about consensus too. When
you're in favor of you're supporting the bill to stop folks from
running for two offices at the same time.
Because I don't take any
common sense.
I remain totally silent on all these bills unless you
that.
Give me a direct order.
Now, how does a Democrat? How does a minority person get representation on this council?
Try to get more Democrats elected.
I'm serious.
No, I'm serious. That's how you do it.
Because you did a great job when I was away sick. And you presented a lot of bills about water, stormwater management, and all the and fresh water and that type of thing of what Dover's doing. And I heard the council back you. You were opposed to many things that I'm not opposed to. So how does the other side ever get a public say so?
Should
those people be told county council says this and never told that the Democrat said that? Or the minority said, you know, my district is very, very different from these other districts. I have the one that's growing thousands of new people.
My practice, Council Member Deaver, is that I look for direction from the president, and he intends to give me a majority. So I go directly to him. At the same time, I'm watching everyone looking for a majority. I don't represent anything that I don't have three votes for.
Right.
Okay? If I don't have that, if I don't have any direction, I stay silent on an issue.
Well, how do you get those votes?
I usually get it right here at the table. That's why I was asking, do you want me to take a position on this bill? Because I talked about it and then moved on to the other bill, and we kind of got tied up in that. But I really didn't have a decision from you about 159, so I brought you back to that to find out, do you want me to work on this or remain silent? Mm-hmm. And the president gave me direction. He said, it sounds like we want you to support this bill, which would stop people from running for more than one office at a time.
Mm-hmm.
So now, the Democrat-Republican thing, the reason that I try to stay very neutral in all the partisan politics is because it's very different in Dover than it is in Sussex County.
Hmm.
And in order to accomplish what you want me to accomplish, many times I work with the Democrats more than the Republicans because they're in charge of both chambers of the legislature.
Well, minority is really the point. Whether we run in a partisan fashion, so I am in the minority, and I'm also representing a district that's totally different from all the rest. And so that's my question: as how does a minority ever get represented?
Can I help her?
Sure.
For 20 years, I was in the wilderness, and all I could tell you, Joan, is you just got to be smarter than the. And I tried to be smarter than the four Democrats. Some days that wasn't too hard. So you're going to have to be smarter than four Republicans to bring logic and good sense to the arguments and win your argument or hold them up or delay it. So after 20 years in the wilderness, I am now in the majority of the political consensus.
Mm-hmm.
But the bills we just talked about today, I don't think had anything to do with Republican, Democrat.
I think it's
just common sense. And you got to pick your battles, and one of them is not this, you know, these two issues on the table.
No, I'm talking about the bills having to do with stormwater management and drinking water, and
they're not Republican Democrat issues.
They're issues from my district.
I know, but they're not Republican Democrat issues.
It doesn't, you know, that's not.
If
important.
you're in a minority because maybe other reasons, but.
Well, it's run that way.
Anything else, Mr. Godwin?
No, sir.
Thank you very much.
Thank
you, sir. Thank you very much. Jewel Gibbons. Pump station number 24, modification contract 12-15.